I used to manage a record store, and it was a very small shop, and I wanted to have a record store that I would want to go into and shop. And the people that owned it gave me the freedom to order any records that I wanted to have in the store. They didn't care what I carried for stock as long as the store made money, because it had always lost money. These guys were like the biggest independent record promoters in Chicago, and they got a lot of records illegally, like dropped off the dock at the pressing plant in a truck, and all of a sudden at 7 o'clock at night a truck would pull up to this place and say, okay, here's all the new Elton Johns, and like maybe, you know, 60 boxes of this one record would just suddenly get dumped, and I know I didn't order it. So. And yet still, even though that they were running this illegally, they were losing money. So they said, we don't care what you do, you can put anything you want. Imports, the most obscure stuff, great. So, the store's inventory consisted, yeah, it was like this, it really was, it was a great job. The store's inventory, after a few months, consisted of, I would say, half the product, the tonnage, half the product in the store would be weird, obscure stuff that was not on the top 200 that most people hadn't heard or didn't know, but it was stuff that I knew that I thought was really great that I could recommend to people and turn on to people that I could put on the store, and a lot of times people would go, wow, what's that, you know, and they say, oh, well, that's this, you know, and they say, let me see that, and it was fun turning people on to music that way, you know, and that's one great reason of working in a record store is you can find neat out of the way stuff that you wouldn't hear on the radio and play it, and people go, oh, what is that, and you sell some of it. So the problem with that is, though, when you look at the books, like when the computer spits out what's selling, what happens is, well, what this meant was that the store acquired a reputation for having a lot of weird stuff that you can come into and get turned on to things that you otherwise wouldn't get turned on to. So a typical customer might come in and buy three or four things off the top 200 and two things that they didn't know they were going to buy when they walked in the store, because they could turn on to things, the stuff on the wall, they have little notes on it, and you know, saying that if you order this, you'll also like that. And yet that sold still a smaller percentage. I mean, if you looked at the whole thing, like maybe 75% of the business was the top 200, and then this little 25% was all this weirdo stuff, okay? So I left after a year and a half and went to Europe for a few months. And while I was gone, they called in this accountant to figure out if the inventory was being managed properly. And when the accountant took a look at it, he saw that, well, 75% of the records of these top 200, and yet that accounts for less than 50% of the inventory. That doesn't make sense. So we've got to pare it down so that the inventory, like what our money's tied up in, is on the same footing with what gets sold. So what they did was, and this is a big mistake that big record companies, small record stores, everybody made and makes, in my opinion, they went through and they pulled out the weirdo stuff to get it down to 25% of the inventory so that it matched up with the sales, okay? See, that seems to make economic sense in a real duh kind of way. But the thing that it ignores is that the reason why people would come to that store to buy the top 200 instead of going to Kmart was because there was weirdo stuff there that they could turn on to they didn't know they were going to buy. And they could talk with somebody that knew music and could recommend specific things to them. Now that you take that stuff away, there's no reason for them to come to that store anymore. They could go to Kmart and buy the top 200. So suddenly the business started to fall, like pretty quickly. And within a few months, the store was doing so poorly that the guys decided to screw it, give up on the business, and a truck pulled up in the middle of the night and ripped off everything but the opera section.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, obviously they orchestrated that so they could collect the insurance. But
fraud.
That mentality has become a really big part of the record business. And I just give that as an example because that way of looking at things is, you know, it's all over from the biggest to the smallest levels in the record business. Somebody called it the Crown Book Syndrome, which is a similar type of thing. I mean, it happens in the book business too. So just stocking the stuff that sells, you know, suddenly it's like, well, why go in there? I'm not going to get turned on to something I didn't expect to see.